This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Today inshallah we are going to look at an ayah from juz number 23 of the Quran. And this ayah is an ayah from Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 10, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Say, O my servants who have believed, fear your Lord. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. For those who do good in this world is good. وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً. And the earth of Allah is spacious. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, the patient will be given their reward without any account. So today's session will be about the reward for patience. What does the Quran tell us about the importance of patience and the reward of patience? The thing is that in life, every person experiences different changing circumstances. We all experience times when our circumstances are very favorable to us. And we experience other times when things are not favorable at all. There are times when we enjoy the good things in life. We enjoy certain benefits. And then there are times when we experience loss. We experience hardship. We experience pain. So in life, there is comfort and there is also discomfort. In life, there is ease and there is also hardship. And so often, circumstances in our lives are completely beyond our control. We are not able to change our sickness into health, our pain into relief, our difficulty into ease. We are not able to change our circumstances. So it is necessary then that we equip ourselves with the right tools, so that through these difficult circumstances, we are still able to find goodness. We are still able to gain rewards, both in this life and also in the next life. We want to be able to, inshallah, with the help of Allah, not only survive the hardships that come in our lives, but also thrive through them, inshallah. And one of these tools that we so desperately need for our success is sabr. It is patience. And what is patience? Patience is that we do not allow our difficulties to overwhelm us, but rather we have good expectation of our Lord. And while hoping for good reward in this world and the next, we restrain ourselves from responding in a way that is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Patience is that we don't get riled up in aggravating situations. Patience is that we don't get irritated by inconvenience. Patience is that we respond with good sense, not with impulse. We control our behavior. This is patience. And the person who is gifted with sabr, then such a person is the one who will be successful. So in this ayah of Surah Az-Zumar, verse number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Say, meaning, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should say, you deliver this message. What message? That يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that all my slaves who have believed. Meaning, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you tell my slaves, you say this to them, you pass on this message. The fact is that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of, He has informed us of it through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None of us can receive direct revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger, the one through whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conveyed His messages and His good news and His promises to us. But when it is mentioned in the Quran that قُلْ, you say, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this shows us how very important this message is and how necessary it is for us to hear messages like this from the people who are around us. So, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you tell my slaves, but which slaves? Because if you think about it, all people are the slaves of Allah. But this message is especially for those slaves of Allah who believe in Him, who believe in Allah. What is that message? Tell them what? Tell them that ittaqu rabbakum, that you all should have taqwa of your Lord, that you all should be conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, that you all should obey Allah Azza wa Jal, and that you all should not disobey Allah. Because you see, ittaqu rabbakum, taqwa is to save oneself, to guard oneself, to protect oneself. And what is it that we are essentially guarding ourselves from? From the punishment of Allah, right? From the anger, from the wrath, from the disapproval of Allah. That is what we are all striving to protect ourselves from. But then how do we actually guard ourselves from that? Just by feeling a sense of fear? No, you guard yourself by taking the right action. You guard yourself by keeping away from things that put you in danger. So guard yourselves how? By obeying Allah. Guard yourselves how? By not disobeying Allah. And yes, this can be hard at times. It can be challenging at times, but do not compromise on this. Always be loyal to Allah, no matter what situation you're in and no matter what place you are in. Do not compromise on the taqwa of your Rabb. Why? Because لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. For those who do good in this world, they will have حَسَنَةً. They will have a good reward. Meaning those people who worship their Lord, those people who do righteous action, those people who make their words and their actions beautiful, they will have a good reward. Where will they have a good reward? In this life and in the next life. In this life, they will enjoy good benefits in the form of sustenance, in the form of contentment, in the form of inner peace and happiness, in the form of the help of Allah. And in the hereafter, they will enjoy Jannah. They will enjoy the pleasure, the approval of Allah Azza wa Jal. So those who do good in this world, they will have a good reward. But this promise is only for those who believe. In Surah An-Nahl, ayah number 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That whoever does righteous action, whether they are male or female, man or woman, it doesn't matter what the gender is. The only condition is that they should be a believer. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. then such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them a good life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them great reward because of the good things that they used to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yunus, ayah 62 to 64, that أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That unquestionably, the friends of Allah, they shall have no fear on them, nor will they grieve. Who are they? They are الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. They are people who used to believe and they were conscious of Allah. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They will have good news in this worldly life, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, and also in the hereafter. So for those who do good in this life is a good reward. This is only for those who believe. And then it is said, وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ, and the earth, the land of Allah is vast. Meaning, if it is difficult for you to worship Allah, to obey Allah in a given situation, in one place, then go elsewhere. Change your place. Change your situation to the best of your ability, because the earth of Allah is vast. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said about this ayah, that this ayah meant that now you should migrate from Mecca to Medina, because day by day it was becoming harder for the Muslims to worship Allah in Mecca. And some say that this was an indication that they should now migrate to Habasha, to Abyssinia. Because again, for some Muslims, it was becoming incredibly hard to worship Allah in Mecca. So it is said over here that the earth of Allah is vast. Not that you should take it easy and you should leave those things which are becoming hard. Okay, fine, people want you to worship idols. Fine, you should just do what they're telling you to do so that, you know, you're not facing any difficulty. No, وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ, the earth of Allah is vast. If it is hard for you to worship Allah in one situation, in one place, then move, relocate, go somewhere else. And Sa'id ibn Jubayr radiallahu anhu said that when a person is told to do something wrong, then he should run away from that place. Meaning, you always have an option. Whenever you are being put in a situation to disobey Allah, you should never ever settle for compromise. You should always remember that there is an option. The world is filled with opportunities. You always have the power to say no. You always have the power to refuse. And sometimes people use, you know, their position or the power that they have over you, or, you know, the status that they have, they try to pressure you. And they try to force you into obeying them. But even then, remember, you always have the power to say no. And if you don't have the power to say no outwardly, in your heart, definitely you have the power to say no. And when it is said over here that وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةٌ, the earth of Allah is vast, we learn in Surah Al-Ankabut, ayah 56, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ أَرْضِي وَاسِعَةٌ فَإِيَّايَ فَعْبُدُونَ. That, O my slaves who have believed, indeed, my earth is vast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this huge world to live in. Therefore, فَإِيَّايَ فَعْبُدُونَ, only worship me. Meaning, if it is becoming hard for you to worship Allah in one place, then go elsewhere. And we learn in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 100, that those who immigrate, those who leave places of sin, and they go to a place where they are able to worship Allah, then such people are promised abundance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such people will not miss out. So what's the lesson over here? The lesson is that when it is hard for you to worship Allah in one place, in one room, right, in one situation, in one job, then remember that the world is full of opportunity. Don't approach your situation with a scarcity mindset. Don't put a limit on yourself that poor me, I don't have any other option. No, you do have options, and you require patience to find those options, courage and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find those options that are good for you. So go somewhere else, seek another option and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you have to take that first step. And yes, this is hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of this ayah that إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that indeed those who are patient will be given their reward in full without any account. Meaning those who are patient will get their reward in the hereafter without any measure. Meaning they will be given an incredibly huge reward. The question is, who are the sabirun? Who are those who are patient? They are people who remain firm. They are people who remain steadfast. They are people who do not compromise, who do not give up on worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in being loyal to Allah in spite of hardships. They are people who are always loyal to Allah. They are people who are always obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shawkani explains this ayah. He says that بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that they will be given their reward without any measure. This means that those who are patient will be given an extremely generous reward. Such a huge reward that no one can count, no one can calculate, and no one can measure. You see, in this world, we have so many different ways of calculating, of measuring, of counting different things, of quantifying things. But this reward is so huge that no matter what, you know, measures we have to calculate, to count, what formulas we develop and what softwares and what systems and what, you know, databases we develop to, you know, to count and measure, no matter what we have, we'll never be able to calculate this reward because it is so huge. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Ali radiallahu anhu said that every person who obeys Allah will be given their reward in a certain measure, meaning they will be given their reward after, you know, a certain calculation. So for example, a person who is truthful. So when were they truthful? In what situation? And how hard was it for them to be truthful? Their deed will be examined. Their effort will be measured. And the reward will be given in proportion to the deed that they have performed. But Ali radiallahu anhu said that except for those who are patient, meaning their sabr will not be measured. Their effort will not be calculated. They will be given their reward without any measure, without any calculation. So this means that the scale will not be set up to weigh their sabr. Because we learned that on the Day of Judgment, deeds will be weighed, right? وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقِّ. But those who are patient, their deeds will not be weighed. We learned that on the Day of Judgment, the record of deeds will be opened up and people's deeds will be examined. But those who are patient, their record of deeds will not be opened up. Their deeds will not be examined. Instead, the reward for their patience will be given to them abundantly without any measure. So look at the reward of sabr. It is endless. It is not quantifiable. It is limitless. It is immeasurable. And this reward is for all those who are patient, regardless of the type of patience that they observed. Because some people, they face a lot of personal hardship in life. That is their patience. Other people, their patience is that they have to try really hard to avoid sin. They're, you know, they're surrounded by, you know, people who are constantly calling them to sin. They're surrounded by opportunities of sin, but they are constantly, you know, avoiding sin. So that is their sabr. For other people, their sabr is that they have to make themselves worship Allah. It is incredibly hard for them to worship Allah, but they make themselves do it anyway. So regardless of the kind of patience a person is observing, their reward will be بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. It will be without any measure. So this ayah, this pearl of the Quran, shows us the virtue of patience, the reward of patience. And the main takeaway of this ayah is that we all should observe patience regardless of the situation that we are in. Instead of comparing ourselves with other people and thinking that, oh, they have it easy, she has it easy, or they have it harder. No, we need to look at what situation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in. What situation has Allah put me in? And what kind of sabr am I supposed to observe? Because sabr is important for every person, for every single individual. And sabr is a means through which we can get immeasurable reward. And the fact is that impatience cannot actually change anything, right? When a person is being impatient, when they are, they're losing control, they are yelling, they're hitting their head, they're pulling their hair, they are, you know, saying things that are extremely negative, or they basically begin to give up, that doesn't really change their situation. But when a person is patient, then look at the outcome. The reward is incredible. So every person must discipline themselves and must urge themselves to observe patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all safety and afia, security and well-being. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be patient in situations that require patience from us. So what exactly is patience? That is the first thing that we need to understand. What exactly is sabr? Now, linguistically, we see that the word sabr, sabara yasbiru, is actually to hold someone in custody. It is to restrain someone, to detain someone. Like, for example, if someone is restrained with handcuffs, right, or they are kept in a jail cell, they're not able to escape. This is the essence of sabr. But sabartu over this means that I restrained myself over this task, meaning I made myself do this task, perform this task, which means that I really had to hold myself over here. It was not easy. I wanted to run away. I wanted to give up. I wanted to quit, but I made myself do it anyway. So then this means that sabr is to restrain oneself when your nafs is getting out of control. It is to hold yourself back when your nafs is losing it. Now, why is your nafs, why is your inner self losing it? Why is it getting out of control? Because the situation is becoming hard. It's becoming extremely painful. Or the temptation is real. It is very strong. Or that a person is feeling very weak on the inside. So there could be different situations that are causing us to lose it. But sabr is that you don't lose yourself. Rather, you restrain yourself, you detain yourself. So sabr is to hold oneself back from what one must hold oneself back from. Meaning, it is to keep oneself away from things that you should keep yourself away from. Imam al-Raghib says that sabr is to restrain oneself in a manner that both the intellect and the sharia require. Meaning there are situations where, you know, your intellect, any person's sound intellect will require that you don't behave in a certain way, that you don't respond in a certain way. Like, for example, when a child throws a tantrum in the middle of a supermarket, right? The aql says, do not behave in this way. Do not lie down on the floor. Do not kick and scream in the middle of the supermarket, right? That's what the aql requires. That's what the intellect requires. But then the sharia, the religion of Allah also requires from us that we restrain ourselves from certain behaviors, right? From certain actions, from certain words, from certain responses. Like, for example, when you're angry, it might be okay, you know, it might be considered okay to use harsh words or to use curse words. Maybe the people that you are around, it's perfectly, you know, fine to them if you use curse words. But the Sharia requires from you that you control your tongue, that you speak what is right, even in anger. So sabr is to restrain oneself in a manner that both the intellect and the Sharia require. So it is to restrain oneself from getting upset, from losing it. It is to restrain the tongue from complaints and restrain the limbs from behaving in anxious ways. So if you think about it, sabr is basically a strength. Sabr is an excellent habit. It is an excellent quality with which a person is able to not only stay away from things that are ugly, but it also gives you the resilience to behave in ways that are best, that lead you to your success. Sometimes we think that sabr is about suffering. You know, that whatever hardship you are in, just bear it, just deal with it. But sabr is not just, you know, being passive in times of difficulty, that you just suffer. No, sabr is endurance in spite of suffering. It is to keep oneself together in a time when things are incredibly hard, that when you are falling apart, when you feel like giving up, when you feel like quitting, when you feel like doing nothing, when you just want, you know, you just don't find the strength to continue moving forward, sabr is that you still find that strength to move forward. It is essentially that you shift your focus away from what is bothering you to what you want to accomplish. Sabr is that you shift your focus away from what is causing you pain to what you want to accomplish in the situation that you're in. So sabr is that you don't allow your suffering to dominate over you. So sabr gives you the strength to propel through your misery. Sabr is an affirmation that yes, things are hard, but I am still able to do something. Sabr is an affirmation that yes, things are hard, I am in pain, but I'm still able to do something, and I am going to focus on that something that I can do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that was sabr diya, that sabr is light. But you know, he didn't say was sabr nur. He didn't say that sabr is nur. Nur is also light, but there is a difference between nur and diya. Diya is such light in which there is also heat. So for example, in Surah Yunus, Ayah 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He has made جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً. He has made the sun a ضِيَاء, a light. And we know that the sun doesn't just give out light, it also gives out a lot of heat. And sometimes that heat is very painful. It can cause your skin to get burned. It can cause you to, you know, feel, to get sick even. So sabr is light, but it is also incredibly hard on the nafs. It doesn't always come easy. Sabr by definition requires effort. You have to bear the hardship of sabr. This is the main thing, that sabr is never meant to be easy. Because when you have to, you know, when you have to gather yourself together in a situation when you're falling apart, when you have to restrain your tongue, when you have to restrain, you know, the way that you are behaving, your behavior, it can be incredibly hard. And as you are observing patience, it seems like your difficulty is never going to end. It seems like it is endless. And this is why we see that the reward is similar to the effort, that the reward is actually endless. Because when you're observing patience, it seems as though your ordeal is never going to end. You know, seconds feel like hours. Days feel like months and years, right? Time seems to slow down when you're enduring difficulty. But look at the reward. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, those who are patient will be given the reward without any measure. Now, remember that there are different types of sabr. There's different types of patience. And there are mainly three types of sabr. The first form of sabr is to refrain oneself, to restrain oneself from disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. That sometimes, you know, the temptation is really strong. Sin is very accessible. You know, you don't even have to put in much effort. The opportunity to sin is right there. And the temptation is strong. People are actively calling you, or, you know, that opportunity that is right before you is literally just a tap away. But sabr over there means that you hold yourself back, you detain yourself, you do not allow yourself to fall into sin. So in a hadith, we learn about the 7 types of people who will be granted shade under the throne of Allah. One of them is a man who is invited to sin, who is invited to commit zina by a woman who is a woman of status and a woman of beauty. Yani the sin is so accessible. Typically, men have to pursue women, right? But here, a woman is inviting that man. But he says, "Inni akhafullah," I fear Allah, meaning I'm not going to do it. So this is one form of sabr, that you refrain from disobeying Allah. And this means that, you know, this sabr is, you know, at different levels as well. You know, the first level of this type of sabr is that you in your heart, you remove that longing for sin, that liking for sin, that in your heart you remind yourself, no, this is wrong. This is not okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. I am not going to do this. So you don't even look at those situations, those places, those gatherings where there is sin and disobedience. Because if you continue to look at it, then you will be tempted. So sometimes, you know, people tell themselves, no, I'm not going to commit zina. I'm not going to do anything haram. But then on social media, what are they doing? They're following different women. They're looking at pictures of women. They're looking at, you know, pictures of people who are not dressed appropriately. Yani, this is not real sabr. Sabr is that you don't do what is haram and you don't even like it. You don't even allow yourself to be tempted by it. And then sometimes sabr means that you are physically moving away from that situation that is inviting you to sin. So for example, if that social media consumption is getting out of control, you limit yourself. You get off of social media. And then sabr in this situation also means that if you are already in sin, then you bring yourself out of it. Because sometimes we realize we're doing something wrong after we are doing it. Everyone does not know, you know, what is right and what is wrong. So sometimes we realize what we're doing something wrong when we are already engaged in the act of sin. So then sabr is required to bring yourself out of that sin. Sabr is required to repent from that sin, to leave that sin. So this is one type of sabr. Sabr in staying away from disobedience. The second type of sabr is sabr in obedience to Allah, that you observe patience in making yourself obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a beautiful hadith in which we learn about 3 types of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and because of whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejoices because of these 3 types of people. And one of them is a person who goes out with a group of people, meaning he is participating in a battle, and then he is left on his own, meaning everyone else has left, everyone else has gone, and he is left on his own facing the enemy. So what does he do? He stays his ground. He does not quit. He does not run away. He stays in his place and he keeps striving, keeps struggling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Unzuru ila abdi," look at my slave. كَيْفَ صَبَرَ لِي نَفْسَهُ, how he is holding himself in that situation for my sake. And he could have also quit just like other people did. He could have also run away just like other people did, but he did not. Look at him, how he is standing firm for my sake. And sometimes, you know, it happens that maybe you're the only person fasting in your family. Maybe you're the only person who is reciting Quran in your family. Maybe you're the only person who is giving sadaqah in your family. You know, it's easy to do good when you have that right environment, when people around you are also worshiping Allah. But when you're the only one who is staying up in the night to pray qiyam, who is getting up in the night to make dua, who is the only one who is fasting, when you're alone in doing good things, it is hard. But look at the reward. Sabr is also in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And sabr over here means that you, first of all, pay attention to, you know, different acts of obedience. You have the intention, you have the willingness to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you are obeying Allah, you perform that act of worship in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, in the best way that you can. You know, sometimes, you know, sabr is required in getting yourself to pray salah, that you get up from where you are laying down, you get to the washroom, you make wudu, you know, you stand on the prayer mat, and then you just begin your salah. So yes, sabr is required before you begin the salah, but then sabr is required during salah as well, that you pray with attentiveness, with humility, with the fear of Allah, with the love of Allah, right? Sabr is required in the manner that you worship Allah. Because sometimes, you know, we're performing Qiyamul Layl, but how are we standing? Lazily. How, you know, we are constantly fidgeting, moving around, just waiting for, you know, salah to be over. We are getting irritated and annoyed, and we are taking those deep sighs that, you know, as if we are being tortured, as if we are being punished. Wal-iyadu billah. This is not patience. And then sabr in obedience to Allah also means that you keep worshiping Allah, you keep performing that act of worship until the end. Meaning you do not quit halfway through. Because sometimes what happens is that people begin to do something good, but then as things get hard, they quit, they leave, they stop. This is the opposite of sabr. And sabr also means that you refrain from doing things that would potentially waste your reward. You know, sometimes we give sadaqah, right? We give charity. But then right after we give charity, we say something hurtful to the person whom we have given the charity to, right? Where we remind them of the favor that we have done. Where we say something hurtful. Where we show off and we, you know, keep talking about the charity that we have given. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that لَا تُبُطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. That do not waste your charities through man, through reminders of favor, and through hurtful words. So sabr is required not just before doing the good deed, but also while performing the good deed, and also after performing the good deed. So sabr is required in making your intention sincere, in purifying the intention, in improving the quality of the good deed that you are performing. And then afterwards also, that you are consistent and that you preserve your good deed as well. The third type of sabr is sabr over the decrees of Allah. Meaning, sometimes there are situations in your life that are incredibly painful, but they're beyond your ability. They're beyond your control. You are not able to modify your situation. You are not able to control your sickness into health. You are not able to take that headache away, right? That weakness away. You're not able to, reverse that financial loss that you have just faced. So in these situations also, sabr is required. How? What does sabr mean over here? That you restrain yourself from saying anything that is displeasing to Allah, from doing anything that is displeasing to Allah. And this means that first of all, you express your contentment with the decree of Allah, that you say, Raditu billah, that Ya Rab, I am pleased with you. I am not angry with you. I am not upset with you. That, you know, when people do something that bothers us, we get upset with them, right? Like, for example, if your husband says something that is hurtful, you get annoyed, right? If your husband doesn't do what you asked him to do, right? Or if he makes a bad, financial decision, you are annoyed, and you have the right to be annoyed, right? You're hurt, you're upset, and that's okay, right? Your friend does something that is displeasing to you. You have the right to be displeased and annoyed with your friend. But when Allah decrees something painful for you, then you know what? You never, ever get upset with Allah. Sabr is that you never get angry with Allah. You never get annoyed with Allah. In a hadith, we learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests a slave, then whoever is pleased, right? فَمَنْ رَضِيَ, whoever is pleased, then such a person will receive the rida, the pleasure, the approval of Allah. And whoever is upset, whoever is angry, whoever is annoyed, then that is what they will get from Allah. So the way that you respond is what you will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the thing is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with a certain decree, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not intending to harm you. Because يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah intends ease for you. Allah does not intend hardship for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends that you should turn in repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends goodness for you. So Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that there are four types of people in relation to sabr. The first type of people are those who are patient, and they also observe the taqwa of Allah. They combine sabr with taqwa. So they're patient and they're conscious of Allah. What does that mean? That means that they're patient in the way that they respond. So they don't say or do anything that is displeasing to Allah. They don't express anger and annoyance with the decree of Allah. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is that they carry on obeying Allah, regardless of the situation that they're in. So, for example, a person is sick. They're physically unwell. What is sabr over here? Sabr is that they're not angry with Allah. That, Ya Allah, why me? What did I do that I am so sick? Why am I suffering so much? And this is not fair. No, this is the opposite of sabr. Sabr is that a person is not angry with Allah. And what is taqwa over here? Taqwa is that they still worship Allah. They still pray on time. They still pray properly to the best of their ability. They don't leave obedience to Allah. So this is the first type of people. People who observe patience and taqwa. And it is such people who are successful. The second type of people are those who observe taqwa, but they're not patient. So for example, these are people who are very, devout. So they recite a lot of Quran, they pray qiyam, they even give sadaqah, they keep their tongue busy in the dhikr of Allah. They're overall very obedient. But as soon as they face some difficulty, they lose it. As soon as they face hardship in life, they lose it. So they begin to say things that are inappropriate. They begin to pull their hair and hit their head and say negative things. And, they begin to break things and destroy things. And they begin to, yell at other people. And they begin to show really bad akhlaq because they have no sabr. Wal-iyadu billah. Such people are not successful. The third type of people are those who observe sabr. They're very patient, but they don't have taqwa of Allah. They're not conscious of Allah. So these are people who are, like, for example, the Stoics, right? When you read about people who, especially in Buddhism, right? People who endure a great deal of self-discipline and a great deal of endurance. They have so much self-control, right? But they're not really worshiping Allah, right? And likewise, you have people who exhibit a great deal of patience and courage and persistence in doing wrong things. Like, for example, criminals. Do you think it's easy to commit robbery? No, you need a whole lot of courage. right? You take a whole lot of risk. You go and you hide your identity, and you plan, and you have to coordinate, and you have to have that strength to be able to go quickly, to move quickly, to yell at people, and to get whatever you want out of them. To kill someone, to use a weapon, requires courage. So yes, these people are, they have a lot of patience. They have a lot of endurance, but they have no fear of Allah. Because if they had fear of Allah, they wouldn't be using their patience in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So such people are also not successful. The fourth type of people who neither have patience nor do they have taqwa. So in hardship, they give up, they lose it. And when it comes to obeying Allah, again, they have no consistency. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ma'arij, ayah 19 to 21, that إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. That people are very impatient, right? Very small-hearted. How that when some evil strikes a person, he becomes very impatient. He loses control. And when he gets something good, then he becomes extremely stingy. Very, very selfish. So we see that out of these four types of people, who is successful? The person who combines sabr with taqwa. And this is what we should be striving towards. That in hardship, we are patient. In situations that are difficult, we observe sabr. And at the same time, we continue to be loyal to Allah. We continue to worship Allah. We are mindful of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is observing us. Now, sabr is incredibly important. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sabr more than 90 times. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sabr along with salah. Salah is a condition for success. Salah is what differentiates a believer from a non-believer. Salah is a key to Jannah, right? It's your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sabr with salah when he says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Seek help through patience and through prayer. So this shows us how incredibly important sabr is. That it's not optional. This is something that we have to strive towards. We learn in hadith that even Allah observes patience. Meaning when people say wrong things about Allah, they say that Allah has a son, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala observes patience. In the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not destroy humanity right away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still heals these people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still provides for them. Sabr is a prophetic trait. فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Allah tells His messenger that be patient just as the أُولُو الْعَزْمِ among the messengers were patient. In Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 85, Allah says وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِدْرِيسَ وَذَا الْكِفْلِ. He mentions different messengers and he says كُلٌّ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. All of them were patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises people who are patient in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient. وَاصْبِرْ حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ. Allah commands the believers to be patient. And also that they should urge one another to be patient. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا. That all you who have believed, be patient and urge each other to be patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala urges all people to be patient. In Surah Al-Furqan, ayah 20, Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. We have made some of you a trial for others. Children become a test for their parents. Parents become a test for their children. Siblings become a test for one another. In-laws become a test for one another. Co-workers become a test for one another. Friends, neighbors become a test for one another. So the fact is that people are a test for one another. Allah asks us, أَتَصْبِرُونَ? Will you all be patient? Or are you going to be impatient? Meaning you must be patient. And remember that sabr is deeply related to our faith. In fact, in a narration we learn that sabr is the highest level of faith. Meaning when a person is observing patience, this shows that they have an increased level of iman. And when they're not observing patience, This means that they have a lower level of faith. Ali radiallahu anhu said that patience is to faith like the head is to the body. Meaning, if the head is cut off, the body will no longer be alive, right? You slaughter an animal, how? By cutting off the head. So just like a body cannot be imagined to be alive without its head, iman, faith is non-existent, or it's not complete, rather, without patience. And then Ali radiallahu anhu is reported to have said out loud to the people who were in front of him that beware, the person who has no patience has no faith. Meaning, patience is extremely necessary for iman. It is deeply connected to your iman. Don't think that it is just reserved for some people. Sabr is important for every believer, because without sabr, we cannot stay away from sin. Without sabr, we cannot control our anger. Without sabr, we cannot make ourselves worship Allah. You know, the month of Ramadan is also called Shahru Sabr, the month of patience. Because the entire month, what are you doing? You're worshiping Allah. How? By staying away from food and drink. Right? And then yes, when you have to do it for a few days, it's manageable. But when you have to do it for an entire month, by the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, things do get harder, right? Even the strongest of people, right? They really have to exert themselves. So sabr is necessary for iman. And sabr is a condition for entry into paradise. And it is essential for success. And you know what? It requires determination. It doesn't come naturally. You need intention to be able to observe patience. You need determination to observe patience. And this is why sabr is described as an ata, as a gift. Meaning, if a person has been given patience with the tawfiq of Allah, then they're truly fortunate. So while we should pray for patience, remember we also have to strive for patience. Hassan al-Basri said that sabr is one of the treasures of the treasures of paradise. It is one of the treasures, meaning it leads you to Jannah. Now, there are so many benefits associated with patience, which of course we're not going to be able to cover. But we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises three things to those who are patient. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, give good news to those who are patient. Those who, the moment when disaster strikes, they say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." These are people who will get salawatu min rabbihim. That's the first benefit, that they get blessings from their Lord. Wa rahma. Secondly, they get mercy from their Lord. And thirdly, wa ulaika humul muhtadun. They are the ones who are rightly guided. Meaning, they will be able to navigate the situation properly. They will get to the right. They will take the right decision and they will get the good outcome. So these are benefits associated with sabr. There's the promise of Allah's forgiveness and a huge reward for people who are patient. Those who are patient, Allah guarantees reward for them and their effort is not wasted at all. And we learned that the greater the trial, the greater the reward. And there is a lot of good, endless good for those who are patient. When you're observing patience, it seems like this is useless. I'm not really getting anything out of this. You will get something out of it sooner or later. Because, those who are patient, they get the help of Allah. Allah says, wasbiru inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Be patient. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. Don't you want the help of Allah? Don't you want Allah to be on your side? We learn in the Quran that people who are patient get the help of Allah through the angels of Allah as well. Wallahu yuhibbu as-sabirin. Allah loves those who are patient. It leads to success. La'allakum tuflihun. Isbiru wa sabiru. Be patient so that you may be successful. And when a person is patient, they increase in their dignity, in their honor. When a person is patient, only then they're able to lead. They're able to lead with patience. Meaning if a person is not patient, they cannot lead other people. Patience protects you from your enemies. And because of patience, you're able to reflect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. Indeed, in this are signs for every person who is patient and who is grateful. And in contrast, when we become impatient, then our thinking is clouded. We don't have much clarity. Because of patience, we get good rewards in this world and in the next. And the reward of patience is Jannah. Now, in what situations are we supposed to observe patience? In every situation, but especially sabr is required over what people say. Because people don't always say things that are pleasant or things that are, you know, nice and healing. Sometimes people say things which hurt us, which injure us, which cause us to feel broken and shattered inside. But patience is required over there. The Prophet ﷺ is told in the Quran, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Be patient over what they say. When people bother us, when people annoy us, and sometimes people bother us on purpose, and sometimes they bother us just by their mere existence, right? Because of their habits. They're not intentionally trying to bother us, but the way that they do things bothers us. So the problem is sometimes in us, not in other people. So sabr is required even over there. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining about his neighbor, that my neighbor does this and that, and I get really annoyed. The Prophet ﷺ said, idhab fasbir, go and be patient. Sabr is required over false accusations. When people accuse you of things that are not true about you, like Aisha radiallahu anha was accused of what was not true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was accused of being unfair in how he distributed property. Musa alayhi salam was accused by his people. And sabr, of course, is required when circumstances are difficult. Sabr is required over poverty, financial loss. Sabr is required when food is not as delicious as you expected it to be. Sabr is required over illness. Sabr is required when dealing with our children. Sabr is required when dealing with death, with the loss of loved ones. Sabr is required in seeking knowledge. Sabr is required in dealing with your elders, sometimes your parents, your grandparents, your in-laws. Sabr is required in dealing with your leaders, your boss, your supervisor, right? That the way that they, micromanage is really annoying, or the way that they constantly criticize your work is really annoying. Sabr is required over there. But remember, sabr doesn't mean that what other people are doing is okay. No, sabr is not about other people. Sabr is about you. This is very important to remember. We think sabr means that you should be okay with oppression and with wrong. No, sabr is not about the other party at all. Sabr is all about you. Sabr is that you think good about Allah. Sabr is that you control the way that you respond. Sabr is that you observe good akhlaq. Not because other people are deserving of it. No, because you have a set of rules that you have, you know, you have for yourself. Right? You want to make sure that you follow the guidelines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So sabr is required in dealing with people who are ignorant as well. So it is necessary that when we are observing patience, we check ourselves that how exactly are we observing patience? And who are we observing patience for? Why are we observing patience? What do we want out of it? Because if you think about it, even animals endure great hardship. So sabr is not just about enduring hardship. Sabr is about being hopeful of reward in times of difficulty and in controlling the way that you are responding. Because you see, even an animal in difficulty, it will scream, right? And then as soon as the difficulty, that hardship is gone, it will be at ease. So what's the difference between us and an animal if we're also screaming, right, and losing ourselves in difficulty, and when things are fine, we are also fine? That's not sabr. Sabr is that we control ourselves because we are expecting reward from Allah. This is why, وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. Allah says in the Quran, be patient for the sake of your Lord. Meaning, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in hoping reward from Allah, you are patient. And this is why sabr begins from the first strike of calamity. And sabr requires effort. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ Whoever tries to be patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them patience. You know, one of the scholars said that whenever I am struck with some difficulty, I am grateful to Allah. Firstly, because I realize that that difficulty is not worse than how it could be. Meaning that difficulty could have been worse than it is right now. Secondly, I am grateful that Allah gave me the ability to be patient. Thirdly, I am grateful that Allah gave me the ability to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, because now I can expect reward. And fourthly, I am grateful that that difficulty is in worldly matters and not in my deen. It could have been a test in faith, but it is not. So patience means that we are also grateful to Allah and that we do not blame Allah. When we look at the prophets, we see Ismail alayhi salam was so patient when he was supposed to be slaughtered, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam was patient when he was required to slaughter his son. Yaqub alayhi salam was patient when his sons were lying to him and betraying him. Yusuf alayhi salam's entire life was a life of patience. Ayyub alayhi salam observed patience in pain, in illness, for so many years. Asiya alayhi salam, she observed patience because of what Fir'aun inflicted on her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his patience was also extraordinary. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us patience. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا O our Lord, pour on us patience. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا And make our feet firm. And when any bad news, any painful situation occurs, our first response should be إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ And the Prophet ﷺ would say in hardship, يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثُ And main takeaways are that whenever we are struck with some difficulty, let us think good about Allah. Do not think the trials are evil, that tests are evil. And instead, we should face difficulties with sabr. And we should take inspiration from the example of the righteous and the prophets before us. In poverty, think about the patience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When there is difficulty in your circumstances, think about the patience of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When what people say hurts you, think about the kind of things that Bani Israel said to Musa alayhi salam. When your husband is a source of test for you, think about the patience of Asiya. When your wife is a test for you, think about the patience of Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam. When your children are a trial for you, think about Yaqub alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. When physical illness, when your own body is becoming difficult to bear, think about Ayyub alayhi salam. When people's judgment and their false accusations hurt you, think about Mother Aisha radiallahu anha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all well-being and safety. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not burden us with a test that we cannot carry. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us, enable us the strength to be patient when He decides that we should be tested in a certain way, because He knows that we are able to handle that. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us out of difficulty, whatever difficulty that we are in. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the reward of sabr without any measure. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khayran. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.